Lashana Tova Tiki Tevu. May you be inscribed for a good year. And welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely wife, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Bless you and shalom to all. And yes, we pray you have already been inscribed in his book of life, because then every year is a good year. Rosh Hashanah is now officially over. The ancient rabbis did, however, miscalculate the correct year because they omitted counting their servitudes, but it's still traditional. So the Hebrew New Year of 5782 is here, and we are now in the closing days of the High Holy Days, leading to the end of the 40-day season of Teshuvah on Yom Kippur,
or Day of Atonement,
which begins tomorrow at sundown till Thursday at sundown. So we didn't meet in the air, but we are instead back on the air during the most solemn time on the Jewish calendar. And Yom Kippur, just like Rosh Hashanah, with all its history and typology, again points entirely to Christ and his appointments to us. Let's praise our King.
Oh, Lord, you are our high priest that we honor and adore. Guide us by the light of your Holy Spirit in this increasingly dark world. We continue to always lift up our loved ones that still need your salvation. We also beseech your healing power on any ailing listeners tonight, and for those particular requests recently given to us. We pray for wisdom and courage to stand up to the enemy as we repent for any unpleasing behaviors and any unforgiveness we now confess. May this new year restore those who have lost that first love of their salvation, now that a little more time has been granted to them. We pray in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, we are limited tonight for the news section because we have a lot to cover about Yom Kippur.
But these are concerning times.
Oh, yes. And we have now a new medical Hitler, I think, in Biden, as he threatens to nullify states' rights and coerce the entire population into taking deadly genetically modified shots against our will. We'll see what happens, but many are just beginning to just not have it.
Especially after Afghanistan, which is still holding hundreds of hostages.
With many Americans. Then to take our attention off our 13 soldiers that were killed in Kabul, we're finding another lie, this time about the drone that we were told killed ISIS leaders with explosives in their car. Well, that turned out to be an American and others carrying large water jugs to the needy. 10 were killed, to include 7 children. None of them were tied to terrorists. The GOP is holding many meetings this week to go over the numerous missteps and hopefully hold some accountable. Also, if you heard Bush's last week's speech on 9/11, then you know for sure the Bush dynasty is the deep state.
And the Palestinians in Gaza fired 4 rockets into Israel this week,
thankfully intercepted by their Iron Dome. But the IDF responded by targeting Hamas weapon storage rooms, training grounds, and entrances to underground tunnels early on Sunday. Defense Minister Lapid, who will take over as prime minister in 2023, wants to bargain. Well, that just means give the enemy lots of money. And meanwhile, the current Prime Minister Bennett met with Egypt's el-Sisi to discuss how to revive the Palestinian-Israel peace agreement.
Daniel 9:27 is rising.
Yeah, that's just so exciting. So on that note, since we are still here, let's rule out any of your doubts of a still future rapture. Because remember the promise written to us, the Church of Philadelphia, Revelation 3, verse 10?
Because you have kept my command to persevere.
Right. In other words, we have practiced patience in waiting for him.
I will also keep you from the hour of trial.
Well, 7 years is short to God, like an hour. And later, John also refers to the ten horns only having authority with the beast for 1 hour. So it means 7 years. And then he clarifies his promise even more so.
I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth.
Right. Those who dwell on the earth is one of those idiomatic expressions meaning those left behind or the unrighteous. Earth dwellers means those who worship the earth more than God. We are just aliens and sojourners, and when he openly returns at the end of the tribulation on Yom Kippur, we will be with him to set up his earthly kingdom. Please read, honey, Colossians 3, verses 2 through 6.
Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory.
Did you get that? We will be with him at his second coming. Verse 5.
Therefore put to death your members,
which is your flesh,
which are on earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them.
Mm-hmm. You know, the wrath of God, which is the seven-year tribulation of Revelation, is coming on them, not us. Case closed.
Okay, you can send your end-time questions by email to Sheila at shofarministry.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006, or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. Your love offerings are greatly appreciated.
All right, so after Rosh Hashanah comes Yom Kippur, which is all about being sure that your name is written in His Book of Life, because before Jesus came, their names were in the Book of Life if they were righteous, in that they had a heart for God and believed he would send the Messiah. But now, since Yeshua came, those who believe that God did fulfill his promise and therefore have accepted Christ, our names are written in the book of life in heaven, as confirmed by Jesus in Luke 10:19.
Look, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions,
meaning demons,
and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven.
And we certainly do rejoice. And no matter what you're going through, no one can steal the joy of your salvation. So today, we are in the 7 days of awe, Tishri 3 through 10, that actually ends Thursday at sundown on Yom Kippur. The picture here is after the seven-year tribulation, Jesus will literally and personally fulfill his sixth appointment of Yom Kippur with his second coming back to earth, because 7 years earlier, the resurrection on Rosh Hashanah will be number 5.
So what is the Jewish meaning of the word awe? A-W-E.
Mm-hmm. It's like an element of fearful trembling, because it is the typological picture of the coming judgment, when repentance during this time is of the utmost importance before the gates are closed on Yom Kippur and Yeshua shows up. This typology is called the awesome days that Joel speaks of in chapter 2, verse 11.
The day of the Lord is great and very awesome. Who can endure it?
Joel is actually prophesying of the future dark days of the tribulation before the light of Yeshua returns. Every year during these days, called Yamin Noraim in Hebrew, are the final days of the 40 days of Teshuva that we've recently been talking about. These high holy days are the connecting days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, where the Israelites from the Old Testament and still the Orthodox Jews today believe that during these final days, if they haven't repented, especially for any unforgiveness before Yom Kippur at sundown, and turn around more to God, their name would be taken out of the Book of Life with possible death on the horizon.
So, a very serious time.
Yes, indeed. And when viewed as a type of the tribulation, which it is, you can see why it is a very serious time.
A last chance, you might say.
Definitely, for those left behind. So much prayer goes on during this week, and why the common greeting during this season and how we open the program is Lashana Tova Tiki Tevu.
May you be inscribed for a good year.
Because it also implies, may their name be in the Book of Life. So, the last week of Teshuvah is a very big deal to the Jewish communities. And then on Yom Kippur, from tomorrow at sundown to Thursday at sundown, they observe a complete fast, which is the only biblical mandatory 24-hour fast that God told them to do in Leviticus 23, verse 27, when he instructed them to afflict their souls. And fasting, well, that can be afflicting.
But does have some health benefits.
Oh, it does. So along with extra prayers of thanksgiving, if you'd like to fast, of course you can, but only if you want to, because it is no longer required of his new covenant church. A hint that helps us endure a long fast is to eliminate all carbs the entire day before. It'll help lessen your hunger pains. Or you just might want to do a partial fast just to recognize this future appointment that Jesus will keep when he returns at the end of the tribulation at the closing of heaven's gates called the Nilah.
And Matthew 24:31 says, he will return at the great trumpet sound, which is blown on Yom Kippur.
And a jubilee year when Christ returns, Leviticus 25:9. And another gold nugget clue, because the great trumpet is an idiom for Yom Kippur, just like the last trumpet is an idiom for Rosh Hashanah's Feast of Trumpets.
So, let's say it again.
Okay. During the seven-year tribulation, repentance and acceptance of Jesus is of the highest degree for those who have been left behind. For if they don't, before Revelation 19, when he returns to the earth on Yom Kippur, well, it's just too late.
Yeah, for the gates are closed on Yom Kippur.
Again, called the Nilah. Now, those who do accept Christ during the tribulation are called the tribulation saints, where many will die from plagues, weather catastrophes, pestilence, famine, or be martyred. So be sure to tell those who you surmise might be entering the tribulation, they must repent quickly as soon as they recognize that what you've said would happen has come true. Saints, if you are informing them right now, then you have a better chance to recognize what they need to do. Don't let them be ignorant where they might believe a lie. We really have an important job to do before time runs out.
Amen to that.
So again, back to Jewish thought, God assesses the deeds of each person on Yom Kippur and decides their fate for the coming year. And from our Judeo-Christian root studies, Jesus will keep that appointment to literally fulfill it at his second coming, at the end of the tribulation. And to those who have not repented and also worship the beast and take his mark, their names will not be in the Book of Life.
However, we have a spiritual kingdom right now.
Joyfully, yes. Jesus, to his bride, has already spiritually fulfilled all seven. But now we have his literal, physical fulfillment as well.
Just three fall feasts left.
Mm-hmm. And the typology of the fall feast concerning the last day scenario is breathtaking, even more so when correctly comprehended. Another clue of Jesus' return on a Yom Kippur is prophesied in Matthew 24:30, because it says all eyes will see him, which implies face to face, as what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13:12.
For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face.
Paul is giving us another great clue, as he often does, Just like he stated that the rapture would be at the last trump.
1 Corinthians 15:51.
Mm-hmm. Paul is also telling us, when you connect the dots, that Jesus' second coming to earth is like when Moses first used this idiom in Exodus 33:11 by saying he saw God face to face. Even though it was God's back, he talked person to person with him.
And by the way, that was Moses' second return from being with God.
Yeah, I know, right? Moses is a picture of Jesus, who came down from being with God the second time, which was calculated to be on a Yom Kippur.
Well, the pieces fit perfectly.
But there is still more. Israel's high priest could only enter into the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur to atone for the sins of Israel. And it too, even with all the smoke, was termed as seeing God face to face.
No wonder it's an idiom for Yom Kippur.
Exactly. So to repeat, Jesus fulfills his fifth appointment of Rosh Hashanah, or Feast of Trumpets, at the resurrection / rapture. Then he returns with us after our 7-year honeymoon on a Yom Kippur, thus keeping the sixth appointment out of seven that God made with man way back in Leviticus 23.
Well, there's only one left, the Feast of Tabernacles.
When Jesus, also on his birthday of Tishri 15, ushers in the millennial kingdom that we will examine next week.
By the way, Jesus' real birthday in 2021 is September 20th, beginning at sundown.
Yep. Now remember, God organized detailed requirements for his first chosen Hebrew people with definite customs using particular phrases so that Jesus, who was also Jewish, would use them in order to give us huge clues so to how it will be with us. And Paul confirms this also to us in Romans 15:4.
That the things written before is for our learning.
Okay. Time to confirm what we've been saying with Scripture. So could you please read verse 27 and 28 of Leviticus 23?
On the 10th day of this 7th month,
which is still the month of Tishrei,
the Day of Atonement, it shall be a holy convocation.
Meaning rehearsal.
For you, you shall afflict your souls.
A term they use for fasting.
And offer an offering made by fire to the Lord, and you shall do no work on that same day, for it is the Day of Atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God.
Also read verse 32.
It shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict your souls on the 9th day of the month at evening.
That's tomorrow at sundown.
From evening to evening, you shall celebrate your Sabbath.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Hebrew word here for Sabbath is Shabbaton, meaning an extra Sabbath, like an extra holy day. Therefore, another name for Yom Kippur is called the Fast. Again, in Hebrew, Yom Kippur means the Day of Atonement. Because in Exodus 32, Moses said he would go up the mountain to pray atonement for the people because of the golden calf incident, then returning after 40 days with the new tablets on Yom Kippur. From my studies, I really believe Jesus will also return on a Yom Kippur with his new covenant. Yom Kippur is also called the Day of Judgment to the unrighteous goats, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. Thankfully, it's also called the Day of Redemption for the righteous sheep, explained in Matthew 25, who will then enter his kingdom on the Feast of Tabernacles and therefore fulfilling his seventh and final appointment as promised. Again, it's also referred to as the Great Trump, which is only blown on Yom Kippur. There are actually three different idioms for three shofars blown on certain feasts. The first trump is for Pentecost, Exodus 19. The last trump is the Feast of Trumpets, Leviticus 23. And the great trump is for Yom Kippur, Leviticus 25, in anticipation of the coming Jubilee year. So now, let's talk about Yom Kippur's two goats, of which one would be offered up to the Lord, but the other goat was a scapegoat. and it was for the sins of Israel as commanded in Leviticus 16:21. It says, Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all the transgressions concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of Azazel the scapegoat, and shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man. According to the writings of Enoch and confirmed by the Dead Sea Scrolls, Azazel was the name of one of the leaders of the fallen angels who descended on Mount Hermon, which remained a gathering place of demonic gods from ancient days. And the same area where Jesus in Matthew 16:18 proclaimed, while pointing to the caves at Mount Hermon of the god named Pan, that the gates of hell shall not prevail over the church. You know, I told you before, Dan and I visited the foot of this mountain, and in defiance of the devil, we were baptized in front of those caves at the mouth of the Jordan River as we openly proclaimed Christ. And let me tell you, that was an exhilarating time. Anyhow, according to Enoch, the fallen angel named Azazel specifically taught men the art of warfare, of making swords, knives, shields, and armor, and taught women the art of ornamenting the body, dyeing the hair, painting the face, and also revealed to the people the secrets of witchcraft, leading them into wickedness and impurity, until at last he was, at the Lord's command, bound hand and foot by an archangel and chained to the jagged rocks of Tartarus, where he is to abide in utter darkness until the great day of judgment, when they are all led out upon the earth. That's in Jude 6, 2 Peter 2:4, Revelation 9, Isaiah 26. But will finally, at the end, be cast into the fire forever, Revelation 19. And lastly, according to the Mishnah and the historical writings by Josephus, a red sash was tied to the scapegoat named Azazel when led out to the wilderness, where the sash was then placed on a nearby rock. After the goat was pushed over the cliff, the red sash would turn white, showing their sins were atoned for. They would then wave it as they ran back to the temple and tied it to the front door. The Mishnah also states, around 40 years before the destruction of the temple, which would have been right around the time of Jesus' death, the sash stopped turning white. Why? Well, Jesus took on himself the sins of the world. His death freed them. The goat no longer needed, which is also why the temple would soon be destroyed. Joel 2:15 uses Yom Kippur terminology. Let me read it quickly. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breasts. Let the bridegroom go out of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. And this confirms Isaiah 26:20. And the chamber is the hadar, and that's the wedding chamber that they would enter in after they took their vows for a period of 7. It's all together. The dots all connect. Just got to dig a little bit. Okay, so I want to leave you, of course, with the Aaronic blessing and to reminder, if you haven't made Jesus Lord over your life, you better not wait any longer. We're getting so close to his return, and I know that you'd rather be the bride of Christ rather than a tribulation saint. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. Psalm 122, verse 6, and that means in all different kinds of ways. So next week we're going to be talking about the joyous Feast of Tabernacles. God bless. Tell someone about Jesus. Tell them what's going to go on so that they're not fooled. And we'll be seeing you next week.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.